This is an Equity Bates Media podcast.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Everything you're about to hear is for education and entertainment purposes only. Whilst we are licensed, we're not aware of your personal financial circumstances. Any advice is general advice. Equity Mates operates under Australian Financial Services Licence 540697.
Equity Mates.
I will say this about investing. Everything you do learn is cumulative. What I learned at 20 is you can.
Welcome to Equity Mates Investing, a podcast where we explore what's possible in the world of investing. If you've just joined us, welcome. My name is Bryce, and today we're looking at what on earth is going on with Boeing. We're answering a community question about compounding. And Specky McGee returns with an update on the Specky market. To chat through it, as always, I'm joined by my equity buddy, Ren. How are you?
I'm very good, Bryce. Very excited for this episode. We have a lot to cover. And to pull back the curtain, we've just come off 8 hours of audiobook recording.
Yeah.
It's a big week for us here. So if our gusto is low...
Or if our voice goes...
Yeah, that wouldn't be good. Because we've got two more days of audiobook recording after this.
2 out of 4 done. They think this is for the first book, Get Started Investing. So for those of you who haven't bought it and are holding out for the audiobook, great news, it's coming.
Yeah, it's been a long 3 years, but it's getting there.
Yes, 380 pages in roughly 20 hours. That's the expectation from the producers. So it's been a lot of reading, but Ren, it doesn't stop it's the Equity Mates train.
It reminded me, like, it's a pretty good book. It's worth picking up.
Yeah. Kudos to the authors.
Yeah. But yes, as you were saying, the content train doesn't stop and the content train is pulling into a station near you, at least if you live in Sydney, because we are going live, our Ask an Advisor live on the 10th of April at the Chevelle Cinemas.
Yes, it is going to be a night to remember. We're bringing in one of Australia's best financial advisors, Glenn Hare from Fox and Hair, to sit down and do a live podcast with him and to give you the opportunity to ask any money or investing question that you might have. We're going to be covering super, we're going to be covering cost of living crisis, mortgage repayments, investing strategies, you name it, we'll be covering it. So come and join us on the 10th of April. Tickets are available at equitymates.com/events. We cannot wait to see you there.
Yeah. Now, Bryce, it's been a big week, so hit it.
News and markets.
All right, Bryce, well, we've got to start here in Australia, and the Reserve Bank of Australia has come out with their latest cash rate and probably a not a surprising result. Kept it steady.
Kept it steady.
4.35%.
Yes. As expected, at least you and I expect this. What?
I mean, yeah, sure.
Well, I mean, some people are expecting that they start cutting pretty soon, but I think like our consensus here at Equity Mates HQ is that that's not coming.
Yes.
So, look, 4.35%. Overnight as well, there was commentary from the Fed that they might not be cutting rates as early as expected.
To be honest, I think people need to get in the mindset that inflation isn't done.
Yeah.
Like the US printed a higher than expected inflation number.
Mm.
Like wages seem to be on like pretty strong. Mm. I made a call in like September last year that we won't see a cut in 2024. And I thought for all money I was wrong. And now I'm like, maybe I'll be right.
Oh, definitely. Well, I think given that the Fed signaled that they're going to be doing 3 this year, the market is priced in something crazy like 6. We'll see what happens.
We will likely see a cut, but it's like Yeah, there's inflation is still in the system.
Sticking around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Here's a question for you, and I actually don't know the answer to it.
Okay.
Why didn't they do it on the first Tuesday of March? Why did they meet on Tuesday the 19th of March?
Well, Ren, Michelle Bullock has come in and she's making sweeping changes, one of which is rather than meet monthly like they used to on the first Tuesday of every month, they're now meeting only 8 times a year, which equates to like every 6 weeks. And I think since the last time they met in Feb...
Right.
Hence why they're meeting on the 19th of March.
Well, that's just throwing my whole internal RBA calendar out.
You need a new calendar. You know, it's good. It's giving less headlines.
Some people use like the moon and the stars and stuff. I use the RBA calendar to know when the new month comes
around.
And now it's going to throw me.
Nice. Well, get used to it because we can expect to hear them less. But I do like that she's going to be holding a media conference straight after so that people can ask questions. I don't think it was something that old mate, what's his name? I can't even remember his name anymore.
Philip Lowe
was very good at. Give the people what they want.
You're not going to watch one of her media conferences.
Correct.
Yeah. All right. Anyway, let's move on. We want to talk about Boeing because I think this story has... I mean, there's so many aspects to it. People have probably heard about all the plane disasters, but we want to talk about it. But then I want to talk about it in an investing lens.
Sure.
And make the case that it is actually probably going to be a good investment, as much as it pains me to say this.
Okay.
Boeing is a company... I'll get to it.
Yes.
Let's talk about what's going on first.
Hell, they're in a world of hurt at the moment, Ren, because the last few months, I'd say the last 12 months, have been... disaster after disaster, headline after headline, mainly driven by safety issues that have been plaguing the business. First few months of this year, there's been almost a weekly deluge of bad news. A United Airlines flight using a Boeing plane to fly from San Francisco to Oregon landed with one of its external panels missing.
Sorry,
not what you want to see.
I just can't get over how you pronounce Oregon.
What's it? Oregano? What is it? What did I say?
Oregon. Like polygon.
Ren, focus on the story.
Yeah, okay,
January, plug flew off.
Yeah, there's a lot of... Let's rip through these. Yeah, a door plug flew off, which led to door plug gate, where the Alaska and United Airlines inspections found at least 5 more 737 Maxes with loose door plugs.
Yeah.
And I think these are the doors, you know, at the back of the plane when you're waiting for the bathroom and you're like, well, imagine what would happen if I ripped this emergency door right now.
In March, a 265-pound wheel fell off a Boeing 777 after taking off, smashing through a fence into several cars in a nearby parking lot.
Yeah. This one, I wasn't sure if it was really a Boeing's fault incident, but at least 50 people were hurt when they were on a Boeing 787 where the plane experienced strong movement.
So they came out afterwards and said that a flight hostess... accidentally hit a button while serving a meal to the pilot.
Oh, okay. Jeez, that's...
I know, gone.
That's precarious. Yeah, okay. I don't think we can blame Boeing for that.
No, no.
Maybe they should remove... They should make the drop in case
of emergency button.
A bit further away from... Anyway. But then there's been a number of incidents that clearly are Boeing's, attributable to Boeing, a number of engine fires. There was one in January in a Boeing 747. There was one in March where flames shot out of an engine mid-flight on a Boeing 737. There is a long list of safety issues really in the last few months, and it echoes back to a couple of years ago when there were all those issues with the 737 Maxes. And literally there were plane crashes as a result.
Yeah.
Like Boeing and safety are two things that don't seem to be going well together. On top of all of this, if we go down the conspiracy rabbit hole, there's this dead whistleblower.
I know. Oh, this is crazy.
Yeah.
It was due to testify against Boeing's safety record or something along those lines. Found dead.
Yeah.
63-year-old. In very suspicious... Well, the family think it is under very suspicious circumstances.
Yeah. So that is Boeing. There's clearly problems. There's clearly a problem in their safety and culture that need to get sorted out. The share price is down 29% year to date.
Mm-hmm.
Now, fun trivia fact, it's not the worst performer in the S&P 500. Do you want to guess who is?
Oh, No.
Okay. Well, then I'll keep going. It's Tesla.
Okay.
Tesla is down 30%, and that's after even after a recent little bump because they announced they were going to raise some prices. But yeah, Boeing has had a shocker of a year. Boeing is also a company that gives me the ick in some ways.
Yeah.
Do you remember there was a few years ago, this was pre-COVID, we spoke to Jesse Felder and he spoke about these, he had an acronym for it, but these companies of financial engineering that were just borrowing huge amounts in debt to buy back heaps of stock. It was like them, Caterpillar, a few others. Mm. It strikes me as a company that has been very focused on its financials rather than its
product.
And that's like, that's me as an outsider, not making any allegations, but as a company, it's always like, you want your company to really be focused on
product. What it's meant to do.
Yeah. Building long-term sustainable value by building great products rather than building short-term shareholder value with financial engineering.
Yes. Well, they're down 29%. You mentioned at the top, though, that this might be the moment that provides an investment opportunity in a company that gives you the ick.
So me saying it gives me the ick was a big run-up for the but, which is I think at some point this is going to become a great investment opportunity. It might not be there yet, but for people who are willing to take the risk, this strikes me as a meta in 2022 opportunity at some point. The reason being, Boeing is part of a global duopoly in passenger airplane manufacturing. It's Boeing, the American company, and Airbus, the French giant, and that's it. You're not, if you're a Qantas or a, you know, a major airline, you're not really buying planes from anyone else. So that's one thing. They've got a massive market position. The other thing is that they're incredibly strategically important to the US. Mm. Boeing are one of those companies that the US government isn't going to let fall over. They want passenger plane manufacturing in America. Mm. Boeing also has a lot of national security contracts and interests with America. The idea that the US government would let Boeing fail, not going to happen.
No.
But here's a number for you. Here's a couple of numbers for you. Boeing, their backlog of orders, 6,189 aircraft. That's close to a record. Their record was at the end of last year, December 2023, 6,216 aircraft. So there is a massive backlog of orders that is waiting to be filled. It's years of work for Boeing. Now, let me put it in context for you. In 2023, Airbus targeted 720 deliveries of passenger planes. Boeing had a target of 445. Boeing's record year of plane deliveries was 2018. They delivered 806. So that puts that 6,189 aircraft backlog in context. That's more than a decade of work based on their current run rate.
But is this not already priced in?
Oh, it's that's why they've really only fallen 29% when their planes are literally
falling out of the sky.
Well, setting on fire in the sky. But when you think about a company that has given itself some breathing room to sort its backlog out, it's a company that has 13 years of work guaranteed and the implicit backing of the US government.
Mm. It's really just flatlined for like 4 years now.
Yeah.
Like this pipeline of activity is not new news.
No, it's not.
And so...
Part of the reason why the pipeline is almost at a record is because their production is so screwy at the moment that they're not delivering what they expected to. Yeah. So the backlog's growing.
Yeah. So I think when they had their major mishap at midway through last year or whatever it was, the stock fell quite considerably. And I think it had a bit of a run up, but I think now it's fallen back down to that pre-level. So yeah, it is an interesting one. And it's one that I've thought about doing it for stock of the year, but I don't think this is the year that it's still got a lot to work out.
No, so the 737 Maxes started falling out of the sky in like 2019.
Yeah.
And the share price fell
considerably.
Like almost 70%.
Yeah. And then it kind of has just flatlined from there, right?
Yeah, it recovered a bit and then it's fallen a bit with the new safety issues. It recovered almost 100% in the bull market of 2021. Then it crashed again. Pun intended.
Yeah.
It fell 50%, risen 50%, now it's fallen again. So it's been pretty volatile.
Mm.
But yes, it's like,
it's not going anywhere.
Am I confident that Boeing's going to be here in 30 years? I'm pretty confident.
I guess
will I have made money on the stock? I don't know.
Well, what's Airbus doing these days? Is it even listed?
Yeah. It's listed over in France. Up 15% year to date. I mean, nothing crazy. Like up 40% in the past 5 years.
Definitely outperformed Boeing.
Yeah.
Considerably.
Yeah. Anyway, so nice. I think that's...
Well, watch this space. They've got work to do, that's for sure.
Yeah. I mean, it's a classic example of like people who are brave enough to take the risks on unloved stocks sometimes pick big winners.
Mm.
Like Meta's up 350% since November 2022.
Mm.
The question is whether this will be one or if we'll keep falling or flatlining. But yeah, it's not a company that's doing well at the moment.
No. All right, Ren, well, it's time for...
Let's ask the community.
Community question.
Okay, well, this question comes in from Alicia via email. If you want to ask your question, go to equitymates.com/contact. You can ask us a question. We can get your question answered by one of Australia's best financial advisors. But Alicia asked, I always hear that compounding is the eighth wonder of the world, but no one ever really explains it. Can you actually explain why it's such a wonder?
Nice.
Bryce, why is compounding good?
If you've just joined the show and you're wondering what on earth compounding is when your money grows at a consistent rate year after year after year after year and exponentially grows your wealth or exponentially grows whatever is growing. But in this instance, we're talking about our wealth. So think back to your general maths at high school where you would do linear growth, which is an example is saying 6 plus 6 plus 6 plus 6 is 24, whereas exponential growth or compounding is the same as saying 6 times 6 times 6 times 6.
Yeah, what is it?
Which is, can't do it on the top of my head.
1,296.
There you go. So in simple maths terms, that's an example of how the compounding year on year gets exponential growth. And so this is why it becomes so powerful, because when you extrapolate this over a very long period of time, you start to see your wealth just grow exponentially.
Yeah.
And this is how, you know, Warren Buffett is a classic example of this, has been investing for, what, almost 70 years now. And the bulk of his wealth has come in the last decade or so.
Yeah. We had a look at it actually in the first book, Get Started Investing, and it's something like 99% of Warren Buffett's wealth has come after the age of 50.
Mm.
I think at the age of 50, he was worth $100 million. Now he's worth $100 billion.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm.
And the reason that compounding is the eighth wonder of the world, the reason that it's so powerful is... you're not just making money on your initial investment, you're making money on all the previous money you've made. And that's why over the long term, as you make more and more money and then that money starts making money, you can start to get really incredible exponential returns.
Yeah.
Now, we've pulled out a few examples to try and, I guess, illustrate the numbers behind compounding, a few examples to sort of bring it to life.
Because it is actually really hard to comprehend when you start off investing the power of this over 40 years. So I think putting numbers to it is a good idea.
Yeah. Okay. So here's my first example. If you invested $200 a month for 30 years at 10%, you would have $456,000.
Nice. Can't complain with that.
If you extend that 10 years, so you go from 30 years to 40 years,
mm-hmm.
it's not linear growth. Mm. It's not like, you know, you extend the timeline by a third, so you add a third more to your money.
Mm.
It's exponential.
Mm.
That extra 10 years takes your return from $456,000 to $1.275 million.
Nice.
An extra third of time triples
yeah.
your result.
Throw on another 10 years and you... Phew.
I know. How about this one? So if I leave investing late, if I am trying to play catch up and I only have 10 years until I retire, if I invest $1,000 a month for 10 years at a 10% return, I end up with about $200,000,
mm-hmm.
which, you know, not bad. That's you've turned $120,000 invested into $200,000.
Mm.
If I double that timeline... So if I go to 20 years, so I don't have to play catch up as much, I've got a bit more time, how much would I need to invest each month to get that same $200,000?
Is that that's the question?
That's a question for you, yeah. So you double the timeline.
Double the timeline. So you're saying 1,000 a month for 10 years at 10% gets you 207. But if I'm saying I'm investing for 20 years, how much would I need to invest each month to get 200K? Nowhere near 1,000.
Well, yeah, obviously.
I'm going to say $50 a month.
No, that's crazy. That's crazy. Yeah. So your mind initially, like if you're thinking linearly, you would say, well, if you double the timeline, then I halve the amount I need to invest. Mm. So rather than investing 1,000, I would invest 500. That's sort of like first instance response. But that's not thinking exponentially. You actually can just invest a quarter of what you would do.
Okay, nice.
$260 a month rather than $1,000 a month gets you there. So you double the timeline and then you can just quarter the amount you invest.
Which is why we say get started as early as possible.
Yeah. So again, it's this exponential growth the longer that you give it.
Mm.
Here's another example to try and illustrate it. So if you invest $100 just once, you invest $100 at 10% a year for 5 years, you'll have $161.
Okay.
So you'll multiply your money by 1.6 times.
Yeah.
If you invest that for 10 times as long, so 50 years rather than 5 years, again, if it's just linear growth, rather than 1.6 times your money, you would get 16 times your money.
Mm-hmm.
You're 10xing it. That's not the case. You would actually multiply your money by more than 117 times.
Nice.
So that $100 invested once would be worth more than $10,000.
Wow. Well, this is certainly illustrating the effect of compounding, but I think it's also illustrating the effect of compounding over a very, very, very long period of time. Hence why I reckon every week we say, no matter what you want to start with, getting started right now is going to make significant difference to your portfolio over the next 40 years.
100%. Well, why don't you close it out with some actual real-world examples of how this has worked over time?
Okay. So if you'd invested $1,000 in Australia in 1980 in the All Ordinaries total return, by 2019, that $1,000 would be worth $71,800.
Not bad.
Not bad. If you'd invested that $1,000 into the US markets, the S&P 500 total return, in the same period of time, by 2019, that $1,000 would be worth $86,984.
Love it. Now, we can plug these numbers all day. I think if you want to get your hand around it, the Money Smart Calculator is a good place to go. We'll put that link in the show notes. But hopefully that starts to illustrate the pretty mind-blowing numbers behind compounding, especially as you extend that timeline out to 30, 40, even 50 years.
So there is a reason why people call it the eighth wonder of the world. Thank you for the question, Alicia. And as Ren said, if you have a question, hit us up at equitymates.com/contact and we'll make sure we answer it on our shows. Now, we're going to take a very quick break. And on the other side, we have Specky McGee returning with an update on the Specky market. We'll be right back.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Welcome back to Equity Mates. We've covered off what on earth is going on with Boeing and a community question on compounding. And to close out this episode, we're bringing back for the first time in 2025.
Yes. No, 2024.
2024, none other than Specky McGee.
For people who are new to the show, Specky McGee is our correspondent from the world of speckies and shitcoins.
Yes.
The part of the market that people love to have a punt on. We don't spend a lot of time talking about it, but luckily Specky is our correspondent from that world. So let's see what he's got in store for us today.
200,000 shares, Blue Star, 19 and a half. Can you position in one of your equity funds? Listen, Blue Horseshoe loves Blue Star Airlines. Got it?
You've reached the Specky hotline.
Yes!
So good to be back.
Specky McGee, what have we got for us?
All right, how are we going, guys?
Good.
We're good.
Yeah, good, thanks. Good to be back, finally.
Last time you were dressed as a rocket ship.
Yep.
An inflatable rocket ship. Yep. Now you're dressed as the
Spaceman.
Yeah, just
who flies the rocket ships.
Okay.
So we're off to the moon. So it's so good to be back on the show. All the Specky McGee's would be pretty excited that crypto is back as well.
Yes. They would be, yeah.
So good to be back. Like, you know, I mean, crypto's back. You've got Bitcoin and Ethereum, like, both almost at all-time highs.
But you don't worry about that Bitcoin and Ethereum. You're looking a bit higher up the risk curve.
I am. But, yeah, so they're both at almost at all-time highs, which is good. So, yeah, long-term listeners and Specky McGee's would know that I've actually picked two crypto picks in the past. Do you guys remember them?
Banano.
Banano.
Got it.
And...
Yeah. It was the gaming one?
Close. It's Seller Network. That was the one I outsourced to Fiverr.
Oh, yes, yeah. That's right.
So, low-impact pick.
Yeah, exactly. I've done more DD this time. So, you know, with the whole crypto boom at the moment, you'll be pleased to hear that unfortunately, they're still down, but they're not down as much. So, Banano's down 7%. Seller Network's down 50% from the call. So, you know, it just shows you still need to be calculated with your picks. Even in a bull run, a super cycle, you got to pick the right crypto, okay?
That's right.
So, any questions?
No.
No, we want to hear, yes, what's been coming across
next
your desk.
Next question, more,
yeah,
like it.
Yeah, okay. Next question. So, the pick what's I the have today, record? The financial advice I have today is... the pick for today is Dog with Hat. Ticker DIF. Yeah. Are you guys familiar with this one?
Yeah, this has had a big run.
Yeah, it's had a big run. It's on the Solana blockchain. All the Solana coins seem to be doing really well at the moment, including Solana itself. So over the last few days, there's been a bit of a cool off, but Solana is going strong. It's meant to be faster, cheaper, more secure blockchain than the alternatives.
Ethereum.
there's a few other ones like... Dogecoin is actually on its own blockchain. I did a bit of analysis between the different meme nice coins. So it's all about Solana at
is
the
it?
Moment.
So wait, is the pick Solana?
It's Dog with Hat.
Dog with Hat.
With Hat, which is the main meme coin on the Solana blockchain.
So, okay. So would you not just go Solana?
So for context,
you want more gains.
For context,
you want more gains.
Yeah.
Okay. Hold on.
For context, Solana is up like 600% in the past 12 months.
Yeah.
So they're pretty good gains.
They're pretty good.
Yeah. What's Dog Whiff up?
Look, Solana is so good that Sam Bankman-Fried has been telling prison guards to get on Solana.
Really?
Did you guys see that?
Yeah. How's he still trading from prison?
Yeah. Or no, he's just giving tips.
He's giving tips.
Yeah.
He's giving tips, which is just a funny thing to imagine.
Here's the question people are asking, Specky, is it too late?
Yeah, that's my question.
Is it too late? If Specky McGee is talking about it,
no.
It's run 600%, Dog with Cat, whatever it's
dog
called.
With hat.
Dog with Hat.
Dog with Cat.
It's already run.
It does feel a bit toppish, doesn't it?
It does.
No, dog with Hat is down meaningfully from its all-time high. It was at 340 in... What, a week ago? No, a few days ago, and now it's at 240.
Look, with all these fluctuations, I've still been sleeping like a baby. I'll sleep for 2 hours, I'll wake up and cry. I'll sleep for 2 hours, I'll wake up and cry again.
Nice.
So
Dog with Hat is up 1,300% in the past year.
It's going strong.
It's more
strong.
Than 10 bags.
Yeah, and the other piece of news, so the Dog with Hat community came together and through just like holders of the coin,
okay,
collectively donated 700 grand to put the image of the token sort of logo on the Vegas orb for a week.
Oh,
did
yeah.
you see this? Yeah, the Las
Is that
Vegas
what it cost?
Orb. 650 grand for a week. Yeah.
For anything.
But I think it cycles through other brands as well.
Yeah. Right.
So they say that it's meant to go live on 19 April, so we should see some price action there. But I think, you know, this is the punt you want to take. If you're a Specky McGeezer, you want to ride the Solana momentum, Dog with Hat is what we're on here.
Are you in?
Absolutely.
Can I ask for your take on another Solana meme coin that I've been hearing a bit about?
Sure.
Have you heard of Peng?
I haven't heard of Peng, no.
Oh, tell me about mate, Peng. You got to get with Peng. Peng's the next Dog with Hat.
Oh, okay, maybe it's too late. Like, one of the responses to the Vegas Orb news was like, this is just such a top signal.
That's top.
Like,
the fact that
you know, we're paying 700 grand to get on this orb.
It reminds me of Elon going on Saturday Night Live.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Yeah. Everyone thinking that would be good for Dogecoin.
And it went down after that. Everyone's like, it's going to blow up after
it's
that.
It's no longer a meme.
Yeah. So maybe we got to sell on the 19th of April.
That could be it. But yeah, I don't know. I went on the crypto moonshot subreddits and there's all these spin-offs. Frog with Hat, Pepe with Hat, Shiba with Hat, Hank with Hat, Dog with Fork, Hat with Bag. Someone in the office...
This is ridiculous. This is just
this is
stupid
crypto,
shit. Just after we've talked about long-term compound investing.
Yeah. 10% a year?
10%
what?
A year.
Someone in the office suggested Wolf with Balls. That's genuine. Bryce is talking about Dog with Cat now.
So bad.
Dog with Cat would probably be good. Yeah.
Look, I reckon, so that's my pick, Dog with Hat.
Wait, but we got to be clear, it's whiff, like a W-I-F. W-I-F.
Dog with hat. Nice. Yeah.
Who let the dogs out?
Nice one, Specky. Well, we're certainly going to the moon, coming in as an astronaut. Dog with hat. You've heard it here first. We appreciate you coming in and looking forward to the next one. Thanks, Specky.
Cheers, guys.
All right, well, let's have this music play us out. That brings us to the end of another episode of Equity Mates. Remember to pick up your tickets to Ask an Advisor. Rumours are Specky McGee might be making a guest appearance.
True.
Depending on how Dog with Cat's gone. Tune in tomorrow. We're speaking to Kerry Craig about all things portfolio construction and home country bias. We'll ask him where Dog with Hat fits in that portfolio. But until then, thanks for listening.
You have been listening to an Equity Mates Media production. In the spirit of reconciliation, Equity Mates Media acknowledges the traditional custodians of country throughout Australia and their connections to land, sea and community. We pay our respects to their elders past and present and extend that respect to all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples today. This podcast is intended for education and entertainment purposes. Any advice is general advice only and has not taken into account your personal financial circumstances, needs, or objectives. Before acting on general advice, you should consider if it is relevant to your needs and read the relevant product disclosure statement. And if you're unsure, please speak to a financial professional. The hosts of this podcast and their guests may have positions in the companies mentioned. Equity Mates Media operates under an Australian Financial Services Licence 540697.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns, so you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.